So I'll have just one item, which is the monthly revenue numbers. A quick reminder, comment about amnesty, and then it's your show. 4 months into the fiscal year, revenue to the state is right at projection, which is to say, not materially more or less than was forecast in the budget. Sales tax revenues are down slightly. Personal income is down for the year, but did bounce back in the month of October. We hope that's a good sign. Gaming revenue is down from last year. When you roll it all together, however, right on projection, not more, not less. This is not counting the results of the amnesty program, which we proposed, which has 12 days left to go. But I am in a position to say that as of yesterday, tax amnesty in Indiana has met and exceeded the projection made for it when the bill was passed. So it's clear from a fiscal standpoint it's going to be a success. We won't know till a few days after amnesty closes exactly what those results will be, but it has already surpassed what was forecast for it. And I just want to remind all those citizens and businesses, including those out of state, 12 days to go. Thereafter, penalties double and enforcement efforts will be increased. But amnesty looks to be performing in the way that we hoped it would and the way the legislature hoped it would. And can't say enough good things about the people at Revenue. They have probably, taking the lessons of all the other states that have done this, they've probably run the most effective and efficient program anywhere.
Governor, what is the figure?
I'm just going to say that it's exceeded 65. It's changing hour by hour. And the experience of other states is that a very significant percentage of the money does come in the last days or weeks. We're not predicting that here. We don't know what to expect. But I will say that the last few days have been brisk. I can also tell you that as I watch the little dashboard computer program, which we have, which provides for constant monitoring of this, that a growing percentage, a significant percentage of the money collected has come from out of state. Well over 40% of the proceeds to date have come from out of state, a lot of that from businesses. And that's, I think, a good outcome. I hope that holds up.
Is that $65 million in cash that the state has collected, or is that count?
Most of it's in cash. Up until recently, a third or more was in payment plans, but I notice right now that some of those checks must be coming in. Most of it is in cash. In the revenue report, you'll see that as of the end of October, we had $45 million in cash, but some more has come in since then.
And does that include, are we going to pay? I hear there's like an 18% amount that goes to an outside company that helps, so should we take the 18% off the 65?
No. I check this at revenue, but I believe that comes in the hereafter. In the enforcement program, but I may be in error about that.
Governor, on the revenue report, you mentioned personal income down, although back somewhat in the last month. Remember on your very first day in office, flying around, and everywhere you went, you said that your number one job was to get more personal income
That's right.
in people's pockets. So I wondered if you're disappointed that basically we're still flat.
I'll be disappointed for years until we someday climb back to the national average, but you don't fix 30 years in 10 months. This is the biggest tanker we are trying to turn. But I'll never be happy until personal income in Indiana is at or above the level of other states, and I won't be at all happy until we begin to grow faster in income in Hoosiers' pockets than other states. It's the number one thing we get up and think about every single day.
Have you had any big job successes over the past year? I can't think of any right offhand. We've had the bad news about Delphi recently. Are you disappointed in that?
We have more than doubled the number of transactions that the state has participated in. There's a dramatic increase in capital investment, those things that the IEDC is involved in. But we've got just a long, long way to go. I'm on the road the next 2 days. last trip to Fort Wayne, we announced two simultaneous job expansions on the same day up there at Mullinix and Centennial Wire. Did the same thing in Terre Haute recently. But you have to, first of all, you have to run hard to stay in place because the 30-year erosion of our manufacturing base has not stopped. Delphi is an example of that. And also, it's just important to note that although I intend, we're on our way, I think, to having the best economic development program in America, the most aggressive operation and people, this will always be at the margins of an economy of 6 million people and tens of billions of dollars of activity. So our number one job, and it's a long, long, long-term job, is to make the environment in this state as growth-friendly as possible, and that's everything from low taxes to a streamlined regulatory system to the best education system and best-trained workers and future workers in America. And those things do not happen. You don't reverse 30 years of decline in 10 months or anything like it.
Is it harder to turn this freighter than you expected?
I never expected anything else. I don't know why anybody would. Again, there are all sorts of factors involved here, and many of them are national or even global in origin. But many of our wounds were self-inflicted, and many of improvements are within our power, and we're working on those, and a ton of them have happened already.
The mayor is blaming state government for the problems with the child services budget. You've made it clear that you feel it's necessary for the city and the county to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
Who's responsible for the expenses?
You know, I don't know where this came from. His party had 16 years to fix this. I don't remember him complaining. He's been mayor for 6 years, and this never came up before. I didn't invent this system. It's been there. Now, as it happens, I agree about fixing it, and we're going to try to do that, as I have said in speeches now for quite some time. But for the meantime, it won't work for Indianapolis to demand special treatment, ask the rest of the state to pick up its bills. And we'll do anything we can to help them, prepared to authorize them using other funds, which they have, borrow money if they like. And we've even found a way to advance the money. There is no excuse for people not being paid immediately. And if the state needs to advance the money till the city gets its act together, we're glad to do that. But not special treatment, and not for Indianapolis, and not where the lives of kids are involved.
Do you know, is it your opinion that they tried to create a crisis here?
Isn't it obvious? And again, for some reason, this didn't happen for the last 16 years. Only suddenly this year, this isn't anything new about this system or about the communities being underestimating what it might take to pay them. But there is no excuse for folks not being paid right now. If the city can't get its act together, we'll advance them the money until they can.
You don't agree you've been spending like a drunken sailor, as the mayor said?
That's a funny way to think about taking care of kids who are abused, neglected, or abandoned. And these are decisions ordered by local courts. And, I just believe that it's just a funny attitude to take when we're dealing with the lives of our most vulnerable children. So the whole situation caught me by surprise, and I find very, still very puzzling.
Well, it strikes me that he's trying to assign blame for property tax increases here. And since this is system that the locals pay for, should the state take some of the blame for the property tax increase?
This is a system that's been there for a long, long time. And communities that manage their money well, take care of their children, and assign that a very high priority. And I see no reason why Indianapolis should expect not to do that. I'm the one who's agreed that among many, many other reforms that we are bringing to the state government, this is one I'd like to see changed over time. But right now, it's the system we have, the system we inherited. And one city is asking for a special pass, and in fact, asking to pass its bills off to the taxpayers of the rest of the state, and that's not going to work.
How do you propose to, what do you think we should do to fix the system?
I think we should transition to the state funding at all. That may take a few years. But that, I think that's a reasonable suggestion. But it's not a excuse for punishing kids and foster parents who are trying to help those kids right now or using them as pawns. And I just, again, I'm not sure where this came from.
Can the state afford to do that?
Well, I think it's something we will look to find a way to do over time. The state could not have afforded to do that before this year, that's for sure. The state was broke. And it's going to take a little while to get back to balance. But because of the decisions made this year, because of the way we are running state government and saving millions of dollars below what the legislature made available, we will get to balance sooner than most people thought possible. And things like helping localities with the cost of child welfare, one of those things I think we ought to do as soon as we have.
Governor, would you support legislation that would require schools to teach intelligent design?
I'm not sure I would. I'd have to think a long time about it. In general, our policy will be to remove mandates from education, leave local school boards, principals, and teachers more freedom. So I'd have to think hard about a bill that would require any particular curriculum or assignment. Now, if I were running a school myself, I would certainly want kids to learn to think critically, and I'd want them exposed to competing theories on a question like this. But that's different from than saying that the state, let alone the legislature, ought to force that or any other such rule on everybody. We're going to be looking to remove mandates and create greater freedom for teachers to teach and principals to lead.
Governor, will you consider getting behind any proposals to legalize cherry mashers or put slots and tracks this short session?
I don't expect to. We've talked about the video gaming problem before, and my position has always been that what was not tolerable was a status quo in which the state was a hypocrite. It had a law in the books that it had told its own officers to ignore. And I've said I'd be open to some, to going either direction, either to regulate this and possibly reduce the amount of this gambling in the process, or to enforcing the law we have, which in the absence of change, legislative change, is what we were doing.
Governor, do the recent developments with Delphi and the memo that indicated Kokomo may be off the table or be downsized or eliminated give you particular concern, and how are you trying to address that?
Well, the memo doesn't mean very much. It refers to a piece of the Kokomo plant that's not being used right now, as I understand it. And so it created a little bit of confusion. It's clear to me that the Delphi company thinks highly of the Kokomo facility, the outstanding, really, front-edge engineering that goes on there, and that electronics and safety, which is the assignment at Kokomo, is likely to be a core in the business plan of the Delphi of tomorrow. In terms of what we're doing, we're in regular contact. I flew to Michigan on Monday morning and spent well over an hour with the new chairman to make sure that I understood personally the business challenges he's facing and the way they look at the Indiana facilities. And I'll continue to pay a lot of personal attention to this, and it's obviously a front burner issue for the Pat Miller and the leadership at the IEDC.
What did you learn at that meeting that you didn't know by talking to him on the phone?
Well, I learned more about the Delphi product lines, about, which of those are likely and less likely to be part of the eventual company. Again, that information's favorable to Kokomo. The car you drive tomorrow will be immensely safer than the ones you've driven in the past, and a lot of the innovation and the electronics that make these miracles possible will have come from Kokomo, Indiana, and so that was certainly a big part of it.
The steep cuts in the wage that have been talked about there, how do you balance that with state incentives? How do you balance concern about wages that are considerably lower than the current level and giving state incentives to that to support that kind of activity?
Well, you approach it very, very carefully. You know, in answering a previous question, I pointed out that we have more than doubled the number of deals or projects that bring jobs and growth to Indiana that the state is involved in. But we are very, very careful about how we do that. We never lose sight of the fact that this is taxpayers' money that we're using. And we have put in the very same sort of business analyses that you would use and invest in your own money to make sure we're getting a good return from the state. And we'll do that in the case of Delphi, too.
Governor, I was traveling in Southwest Indiana yesterday, talking to people about time. And among the many opinions they shared about the issue was a sentiment that that the governor's office, that you weren't doing enough mm-hmm. to back their wishes
mm-hmm.
and to convince the Department of Transportation to go with what local officials decided to do.
Yeah.
And I wondered what your response is to that and what you plan to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's a fair concern. I think it's more a matter of timing. I really want to make sure that local opinion has had a full chance to be heard and local data has been brought forward. And then I intend to back the certainly any consensus that emerges and back local petitions. I just thought the right time for that was after the petition process and after the hearings. But I understand what folks are saying, and I think they have a valid point.
Has your office provided any support to the counties? One of the concerns down there is that some counties did a better job
mm-hmm.
with the petition.
Yeah.
That they just didn't understand what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Has your office provided any support to those counties who want to make a change in making their case?
I don't know. I hope the answer is yes. That it could be that more could have been done there. I know if anybody had asked, I'm confident that we would have assisted them. You're quite right that some counties sent in less than a page and then some sent in more extensive data, and that explains why some are part of the current proposal and some aren't yet included. So if we were asked, I'm sure we helped, but maybe we could have done more there.
I'd like to get back to Johnson for a second.
Uh-huh. Probably the legal changes that we enacted at the legislature, starting with the creation of the IEDC, which has, I think, been a dramatic improvement over the failed bureaucracy it replaced, but also including the modernization of our tax law. R&D equipment is now treated the same as heavy manufacturing equipment in Indiana, not discriminated against. Our R&D credit is soon to be one of the highest in America, very positive encouragement to the jobs of the future. Effective January 1, small business in Indiana will be getting an investment incentive so that it is a little bit less expensive in terms of taxes to add that next machine or that expansion to your business. I think these things, again, are long-term, the most important things we can do. I would say right behind that, restructuring Indiana state government around the idea of growth. There is nobody who sits at this table when the cabinet meets who doesn't understand that if their agency is called on for a input, for a permit, or for some direct action, maybe it's infrastructure, to help bring a new job to this state, that's the most important thing they'll do that day.
Is there one company or that has been saved by the state government that, you know, that might have been leaving that wasn't, or a company that is going to expand here that wouldn't have if not for the IDC? Is it too soon for that kind of?
Well, when there have been 100 and some, let me answer you offline, Mary Beth. I'd like to look at the list before I just pick one from memory, and I'm not sure I really want to pick and choose. But you know, to us, every single job matters, and very honestly, we have a very you're really asking me to think about the great big scores, and there have been some, but it's the small businesses of this state that will generate the new jobs that we ultimately need. We lowered significantly the threshold at which the IEDC will work with businesses, specifically because we understand that it's not just big business. In fact, it's more small businesses and enterprises that our future will be based on. So we're, in some cases, more excited about the small business that has the possibility of growing fast than we are about the big established firm, where you may be just, as you say, preserving jobs or having very small growth.
Governor, some of us have gone to a couple of your speeches recently where in the description it says...
Of your own free will, or...
Yes.
Oh.
Where it says that you would talk about your 2006 legislative agenda, but we haven't heard very many details, and I just wondered, are you building suspense? Do you have your agenda yet? Can you give us some details?
Yes. I mean, we haven't filled in all the details, and... But I've been very explicit about saying that our major moves, transportation infrastructure proposals, will be taken to the legislature. And I think this is, as I've said, the biggest jobs program that the state probably has looked at maybe in its history, that we want to see more dollars in education and in the classroom. And we think Indiana is a great upside opportunity, as I've often discussed. If we can help schools and encourage schools to modify their business practices or maybe their structure in a way that gets more dollars into teacher pay and smaller classes and at the point of instruction. Well,
what's the agenda item?
Well, procurement reform is one. Our schools, the vast majority of our schools, don't pool together to buy pencils, let alone expensive things like insurance and buses and so forth, and we want to help them and encourage them to do that. Very honestly, many of them are, we have lots and lots of administrative costs in Indiana education, in part because folks aren't sharing the sort of back office expenses. We have, I'll be traveling in many counties the next 2 days, which are not large, but have multiple school corporations. The simple fact is that we now spend over $10 billion a year on K-12 education in Indiana, $10,000 per child, which is great. We make a very substantial investment. If we could move, but we are several percent behind other states in how much of that money gets to the classroom. And every percent, just think, every 1% is $100 million. I pointed out at an education roundtable meeting that if you could move 1.5%, you could pay for all-day kindergarten statewide if that were your next step. So that's why I think that'll be a part of our agenda. And we're talking to superintendents and school boards and the teachers about the best ways to do this. But that's clearly one that we should work on. And then the whole issue of helping local governments with their finance problems, and we talked about that a little bit today. Those will be three, I'd say, of the larger items.
Are you concerned that the legislature may want to get into some issues like intelligent design that might be more divisive and distract from doing things on procurement and infrastructure, which may not be very sexy, but they might have more benefits in the long term?
No, I'm not concerned. They showed in this year past they have a great capacity. This was the busiest, most active and productive legislative session in memory in Indiana. And the short session won't be like that, but I see no reason it can't deal with all kinds of important issues. And frankly, I'm encouraged if legislators want to put important issues in front of themselves and the public. That shows the right spirit. We don't have a day to waste in addressing Indiana's problems, let alone a whole session. So I hope they are ambitious, and as I say, they've shown they had the capacity to get all kinds of work done.
You said helping local governments with financing, different ways to finance. Mm-hmm. Speaker Bosman said yesterday that he didn't think options like local option sales, income taxes, expanding income taxes, would come up in the short session, would be able to be tackled.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that, or are you still going to try to push for that?
Well, I'm certainly going to re-propose it as I did this year. This is just to say that I think that local governments who want to raise some more of their money through a different source than property taxes ought to have more freedom and flexibility to do that. And I know many of his members agree with that. And the folks I visit with in the Cities and Towns Association, for instance, agree with that. So I hope that his forecast is wrong. I'm sure it's just his honest assessment that it might be hard to do. But I think it's worth a go, and I plan to have that as part of our suggestion.
Last year, you proposed it in the sense that you said you guys should look at it. Will you actually have a bill with a specific way to do it?
Actually, the day after the State of the State speech, Chuck Shalio went to the legislative committee with a set of proposals we said we could agree to several.
I mean, it was a list that said, here are some options you guys should look at.
Yeah.
I mean, will you have an actual bill with, you know, a framework for how it
works? We might.
Back to the tax collection
a
little bit. Assuming that we do go above that $65 million mark in the next 12 days, is there a plan already for that money?
Use it to balance the budget of the state. And remember that even if it is successful beyond anyone's expectation, this is still a relatively small amount in the context of a state budget that runs now to over $11 billion, that has been full of red ink for years and years, a state that owes $700+ million to schools and local governments that I think at some stage must be repaid. So I think amnesty is very likely to be not just a success, but a very large success, but you have to keep it in context. Thank you all. Off to Fort Wayne, Pierston, Columbia City, South Bend, Michigan City. So I feel like a train conductor.